Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win.
Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality with me, your host, Pastor Kevin Treasure, aka The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your words. And you were born to win. I encourage people. Everywhere I go, I like to encourage people. I'm an encourager at heart. Amen. There's a lot of people that put people down, condemn people. But you have to decide what you're going to use your words for. Your mouth is the vehicle. Amen. Your mouth is the vehicle that moves your life forward or backward. Unfortunately, there are many people in this world that are stuck in reverse. But I choose to go forward. And I choose. And if you're listening to this podcast, I believe that you choose to go forward also. But I want to encourage people. And I've got here written down some things, and I won't be long. I say that I'm a preacher, and preachers say that. When preachers say they're not going to be long, get ready for a tuck in, yeah? Get ready that you're going to be tucked in. But I give honor to the Holy Spirit of God, about whom we can do nothing, and even those that are listening by way of YouTube or podcast or wherever it is you're listening from. I just want to encourage you, amen, to start using your words wisely, amen. And the Bible says in, I believe it's 1 Peter 34, and it's repeated again, first in the Psalms 34 and again in 1 Peter. It says, he that will love life and see many good days. So he that would love life, or if you want to love your life, you want a great life, and you want to see many good days, not evil days, good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and his lips from speaking guile. So he said, you want a long life, you want a good life, you want to see many days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and his lips from speaking guile or speaking deceit. So he's saying, amen, you want a good life, you want a long life, you want a prosperous life, amen, learn to speak well. Speak well about yourself, speak well about others, amen, speak well concerning your health, amen. Whose report are you going to believe, and whose report are you going to confess? Amen. Speak the word of God. Speak positive words. Speak God's word, because God's words are spirit and they are life. I've got it written down. Listen, let me just get that off the screen. Get this off the screen. Why is this not off the screen? Get this off the screen. I've got here, the mouth is the vehicle that will declare the victory over your life, or the victory in your life. The mouth is also the vehicle that can announce your defeat or your downfall. I'm going to say it again. The mouth is the vehicle that we can use to declare the victory in our life. The mouth is also the vehicle that we can use to announce your defeat or your downfall in your life. So depending on what's in you or what's in your spirit will have an impact on what you say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in you is going to come out of you. And what's in you is going to come out of you. And that's going to direct your life. Amen. So you got to be careful, amen, about what you speak concerning your life, concerning your marriage, concerning your children, concerning your family, concerning your career, amen, concerning your destiny. Many people have spoken over their destiny unwittingly, unknowingly. I was listening when Kobe Bryant died tragically in 2020, I believe. That's 4 years already. The years are flying. And I was listening to a report from a close friend of his the day after, and he was still distraught, and he said something, and I had to go and find it again, and it really struck a chord with me. He said something, and he said, you know what, Kobe always said, I wanted to die young, I want to die young, I want to be a legend, I want to die young like Tupac, I want to be remembered as a legend so I can be big. And he said he always used to speak that, and he used to say, don't say that, but he always used to speak that. And we don't realize that we can be the prophet of our own life. I'm going to say that again. We can be the prophet of our own life. And we can decide where we're going to go, how long we're going to live, what we're going to do in this life, by what we are declaring over our life. I'm going to say that again. We can decide. We can be the prophet of our life, what we're speaking over our life. There are many people that said, all right, and that's just one person I know. I believe there was Biggie Smalls, and he brought an album in 1993, was it? When did he die? March 93, 1st of March 93. I had to do my research, and his album was entitled Life After Death.
Well, 3 weeks later, I believe, or was it 3 weeks before, 3 weeks after, he lost his life in a drive-by. I mean, you're entitled in your album, Life After Death. Many people want to talk about death and talk about negative things over their life and over their situations, over their families, not knowing that we don't get away with things because we can prophesy over our own life, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Will Smith used to always say when he was young, after he finished Fresh Prince, I read somewhere where he said, I want to be one of the biggest names in Hollywood. Well, we can see for ourselves. Yes, he has now become a very big name, household name. The guy in the Goodfellas movie, the one that plays, that's based on a real life mafioso. And he said, from the time I was little, I always wanted to be a bad guy. I always wanted to be a gangster. That's how the film starts. Well, from the time he was little, that's what he always wanted. That's all he desired. That's all he desired. That's all he spoke about. That's all he became. It's biblical. Proverbs 18, I believe 20 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's not in the power of your enemies. Amen. It's not in the power of the judge. It's not in the power of the politics or the political party that's in power where you live. It says death and life are in the power of your tongue. Just beneath your nose, just above your chin. That's where death and life resides. Not in demons, not in your enemies, but in your tongue. And he that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you're going to, whatever you love to speak, whatever you keep speaking, whatever you love to speak, you're going to eat the fruit of those words that you've been saying. There are people, sadly, that I know. My mother-in-law sadly passed of dementia. Well, she had some complications. But her mother had dementia. And she used to worry and speak a lot like, I think I'm losing my mind. I think I'm losing my memory as she got older. And I used to say, no, don't say those things. Don't say those things. And it was such a fear. And she kept speaking her fears. And Job said in the book of Job, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. And fear works in the reverse of faith. So we've got to be careful what we're meditating on. And we're meditating on fear. Amen. Because the thing that we fear the most can come. Or we're meditating on the things of faith, what we believe God can do in our life. And sadly, she did develop dementia. So something that's very close to my heart, and it's something that's really heart-wrenching, because you see that person die not once, not twice, but many times. You lose that person twice sometimes, because you lost the person, and then when they go, you lose them, like, you lose them, the person they was when they're alive, and you also lose them when they pass away. And it's a very heart-wrenching thing to watch someone go through. But she used to keep speaking, oh, I believe that I'm losing my memory. And she used to worry about it and speak about it. And eventually what she did speak about and what she was concerned about did eventually happen to her. And biblically, when we read in the book of Numbers 13 and 14, we see that they came out of Egypt. And we know the story. They came out with miracles, with signs and wonders. God brought them out with a strong hand. Amen. We know about the plagues, the river turning to blood, and the frogs and the flies and the lice, the hail. Amen. And we know the final one where the Passover was initiated. Amen. When he put the blood upon the door and the lintels, and everyone that didn't have the blood on the door and the lintels, their firstborn died. Hallelujah. So we know about that. And then he released them. They came out of gold and silver. They sport the Egyptians, the Bible said. Amen. And they saw the enemies tried to pursue them. Even after all this, Pharaoh was relentless. His heart was truly hardened. When you think about that story, this guy's heart was truly hardened. To see all the plagues come upon your nation, all your firstborn die in the nation, and then you still want to go after them. And then obviously that wiped out all of them. And we know the Red Sea parted and the children of Israel went through it. And when they descended to follow them, Pharaoh and his army died, drowned in the Red Sea. This is all recorded. It's not just a story. It's real. It's the story of the Hebrews, of the Jewish people. It's a real story. God's showing that he is the true and living God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what's so interesting about that story is that God brought them out of bondage to bring them into a promised land. So God wasn't just bringing them out of slavery and out of bondage. He was bringing them into a good land. Amen. And that was supposed to be like a 3-4 week turnover, I believe. But it ended up taking them 40 years. So what was supposed to be 3-4 weeks ended up being 40 years. Why? Because they didn't believe God. God told them, listen, go, I've given you the land. And God told them, listen, okay, I'm going to need you to go and spy out the land. And they sent 12 men, 12 leaders, 12 heads to go and spy out the land. And they took 40 days spying out the land. And when they came back with pomegranates, with grapes so big, amen, they had to hold it between a pole between two. So they said it was giant food. So if there's giants in the land, there's giant food. And they brought back the figs, the pomegranates, the grapes. And they said to them, remarked that truly the land flows with milk and honey. So God was right about that. But they said, then they went on to say, 10 of them went on to say, but there are giants in the land. I'll read it. He said, and he said, and they told him, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Here we are. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the seaside and by the coast of Jordan. So obviously this has created a stir in the people, because obviously all they're hearing is there's enemies on the left, there's enemies on the right, there's enemies in the north, there's enemies in the south, enemies in the mountains, enemies in the lowlands. So all they're hearing is their enemies, enemies. Amen. And the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Well, the Egyptians was much stronger than them and had a big hold over them for 400 years. But God dealt with them. And they brought up what God called as an evil report of the land, which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land of which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight grasshoppers, and so are we in their sight. Now, this negative evil report God calls set off a chain reaction. And the Bible says 10 men brought up an evil report, but two men, Joshua and Caleb, believed the report of the Lord. They believed that the God that brought them out of Egypt, brought them out, amen, through the Red Sea, out of the plagues, out of all these things, is the same God that's going to deliver them. The God that delivered them from the Egyptians is the same God that's going to deliver the giants and all these other enemies, and Hivites and Jebusites and Hezites and all these other ites taking up the land. They believed. But the Bible said these 10 negatively affected the rest of the congregation. And the Bible says they murmured, they complained, and they said, oh my God, God brought us out here to kill us in the wilderness, that our wives and our children would be prey. And they said, you didn't bring us out. And they believed evil about God. And what they believed about God came out of their mouth. And they said, God brought us out here to kill us, and we're going to die in this wilderness. Let us go back to Egypt. And the Bible says that the glory of the Lord descended, and God was so upset with them, rightly so. And he said, listen to me. Moses stood in the gap as usual, interceded, said, God, don't wipe them out, because God was getting ready to wipe them out. But he said, spare them, please, spare them. But he said, listen to me, I'm going to listen to you, Moses, but surely as I live, and I'm going to read this, listen to what God said. And it's so important when it comes to the power of words that we speak. He said unto them, how long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, that will I do unto you. He said, what you have spoken in my ears, what you have spoken, that is what I'm going to do. He says, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years and upward, which was murmured against me, you're all going to perish. He said, their mouth was a vehicle that caused, that announced their defeat and their downfall. Why? Because they didn't believe. Only believers will make it in these last days. Only overcomers. When you go through the book of Revelation, and he says to the church, he says to the seven churches, he that overcomes, he that overcomes, he that overcomes. That tells you that we're going to have obstacles, but there's a promise. There's a reward to overcomers. Caleb and Joshua believed the report of the Lord. Amen. And they were rewarded. When all the plagues came, when things happened, they continued to live. They saw the promise of God. Why? Because they believe God. And they announced it. We are well able to take on these giants. And what they announced, what they believed, is what they received. So I want to encourage someone listening. What you are announcing, what you are saying, is what you're going to receive. So be careful what you're announcing over your life, what you're announcing over your marriage. I speak to people maybe going through some hard times and some hard situations in their marriage. And they say, oh, I'm really thinking about divorcing this woman and divorcing this man. I say, listen, don't even let those words come out of your mouth. Those words shouldn't even be in your mind, much less on your lips. Because you're inviting the enemy in, because now he knows what you're thinking. And now he can go to work on the very things that you've been thinking and announcing and work on your words. So you've got to be careful what you say. Are you in agreement with the word of God? Or are you in agreement, amen, with the world and what the enemy is saying? Now Caleb and Joshua got an agreement with God. Amen. Their words announced their victory. They said, we are well able to do this. If God be pleased with us, if God is with us, he will bring us into the land. Listen to what Caleb said in, I believe that's in Numbers 13 and 14, the story. Numbers 14 verse 9. He said, if God is pleased with us, he will bring us into the land. But don't rebel against the word of the Lord. And they get ready to stone Joshua and Caleb for confessing that which was right. But their mouth was the vehicle that brought them into the victory. So I say to you and I ask you, what are you confessing over your life? What are you confessing over your family? What are you confessing over your studies? Some of you may be studying, some may be students. Amen. What are you confessing? Oh, I'm never going to make it. Oh, I'm going to fail. Oh, I'm a failure. And some of us may get some knocks and then we start agreeing with the situation or the circumstance. Don't agree with the circumstance. Don't agree with what's taking place. Don't agree. Agree with the word of God. Amen. Agree with the word of God. The psalmist says, and I believe Apostle Paul requoted it. He said, I believed, therefore I have spoken. So when you believe right, you're going to speak right. Amen. I'm going to say it again. When you believe right, you're going to speak right. Amen. So I'm going to end it right there. We've already been too long. It says, the mouth is the vehicle that will declare your victory. Amen. So let your mouth be the vehicle that declares your victory and declare it daily. So the mouth is also the vehicle that can announce your defeat or your downfall. Don't let that be you. Announce your victory, regardless of what comes your way, regardless of the sickness, the affliction, and you may be going through financial difficulty, but announce the word of God. Amen. You said, you're the God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The gold is yours. The silver is yours. Cattle on a thousand hills belongs to you. You said you've been young and now you're old. You've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor your seed begging bread. You will never be put to shame. Even when it looks like shame, you announce and declare and decree the word of God. You will never be put to shame in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Use your mouth as the vehicle that will announce your victory daily. In Jesus' name. This has been me, Pastor Kevin Treasure, aka The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your words. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Check out our website, kevintreasure.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are born to win.